Science Yan Yu from Microsoft Research, who will tell us about the latest in a very fun line of research combining Hadoop and Dryad style processing with actual lessons from the database world.
Hello, can you hear me? Okay, so my talk is about programming interfaces and the implementations for distributed aggregations. So I'm Yuan Yu, and this is joint work with Pradeep and also Michael. So for the past few years, we have been working on two research projects, Dryad and DryLink. The goal of the Dryad and DryLink is to make distributed in parallel computing easy and accessible to all developers. So here is a high-level view of the system. So the programmers write and debug their program on a single computer using Visual Studio and .NET. So running it on the cluster is automated by the systems. So DryLink generates a distributed execution plan and ships it to the cluster, and Dryad takes care of the execution on the cluster, providing things like scheduling and fault tolerance. So one of the problems we have been wrestling with is the programming interface and the implementations for group by aggregate operations. So this operation is actually very simple, and it can be expressed in two lines. So group by takes a sequence of objects of some type T, and groups them into groups by using the key selector function, and select many applies the reduce function to each group. Well, it looks extremely simple. It is actually a very important primitive for distributed data parallel computation. For example, if the upstream computation is a map function, it is just MapReduce. So this talk is about how to program and implement this group by aggregate operation. So to make things concrete, let's start a very simple example. So group a sequence of numbers into groups and compute the average for each group. So here is the code. It's very simple code. So for each group, we compute the sum and divide it by the count. So when running this on a cluster, so a naive way of executing it looks like this. So in the plan, we assume the source is produced by some map function, and also the result is consumed by some consumer X. So the outer boxes represent the pipelining of a sequence of primitive operators, and the arrow represents the data communication channel. There are two stages in the computation. So in the first stage, the data is partitioned based on the keys. And in the second stage, we apply the aggregation. So one big problem with this execution plan is the data repartitioning sends the entire data set over the network. So this could cause a huge amount of disk and network I/O. So fortunately, there is a much better plan to, much better way of doing this. And if the reducer has some nice properties. So the basic idea is to do early partial aggregation. So for our example, we could do a partial aggregation in the first stage, and also we could add some intermediate. We could add some intermediate aggregation in the network at the machine level or the rack level. And also, we also need to do a final aggregation to produce the result. So for many applications, this execution plan allows us to reduce the disk and the network I/O significantly, substantially, and by one or two orders of magnitude compared to a naive plan. So obviously, what we want to do is to use the better execution plan whenever it is possible. But we also don't want to complicate the programming. So ideally, what we like to have is the programmer simply writes the program like that, and also the system takes care of the rest, generate an efficient execution plan, and also provide efficient and reliable execution. So for the rest of the talk, I'll first talk about the programming interfaces and also the implementations for group by aggregate. And I will then present our evaluation of the interfaces and also the implementations and finally conclude. So at the heart of the whole thing is the notion of decomposable functions. So roughly speaking, a function h is decomposable if it can be expressed as a composition of two functions. The first function is commutative, the second function is commutative and associative. So here are some very simple decomposable functions. Sum is decomposable, count is decomposable, and order by followed by take is also decomposable. So the decomposable functions are conceptually very simple, but there are two key subtle questions here. So the first question is, how do we decompose a function? As it turned out, there are two ways of doing it, and we call them iterator interface and accumulator interface. As I'll show you later, the choice of the interface can have significant impact on performance. And the second question is how do we deal with user-defined functions? The system tries to infer it as much as it can, but the system is often not smart enough, so it is very important for us to provide a good annotation mechanism that allows users to specify the decomposition of their defined functions. So this is what I'm going to talk in the next few slides. So let's first look at the iterator interface. Suppose we want to apply a reducer, sum and count. Sum and count is just very simple thing that computes the sum and count of a group of integers. And obviously it is decomposable by our definition. So to specify the decomposition of the functions, of this function, we just define the two functions as ordinary functions, add a decomposable annotations to the function. So intuitively, this is what happens at runtime. The first function gets applied in the first stage, and the second function gets applied in the second and the third stages. So the iterator interface is also used by MapReduce and Hadoop. So here is the Hadoop code doing exactly the same thing. So contrary to our system independent interface, you know, the Hadoop actually introduced a low-level Hadoop dependent interface to specify the decomposition. So this actually added some amount of complexity. And also, very surprisingly, you know, Java's strong static type checking, static typing is not preserved by this interface. So here, if you look at the code, there's a lot of places you have to do cast. So the second interface is accumulator interface. So this time, the function is decomposed into three functions. The difference of the two interfaces is how the aggregation is performed. So in the iterator interface, we pretty much have to build the entire group and then apply the aggregation. But in the accumulator interface, we can just maintain a single accumulator object for a group, and an input record can be discarded immediately once it is accumulated into the accumulator object. So databases such as DB2 and Oracle are using this interface. So here is actually the code doing the same thing in Oracle. It is written as very simple store procedures, but the store procedures are rather limited for general purpose programming. So except for this kind of very simple things, and the user has to go to embedded programming languages like C++. This could actually become very complicated quickly. So now we have defined the decomposable function. Let's go just go back to the group by and group by aggregate operation. So intuitively, a reducer is decomposable if every leaf function call is of the form h of g for some decomposable functions. So for example, the average is decomposable. The standard deviation is also decomposable in our, by our definition. And also, in general, some arbitrary function call is decomposable if its arguments are decomposable. So we try to the system try to use the execution time based on partial aggregation whenever it can determine the reducer is decomposable. So now let's turn to the implementation. So here is again is our execution plan. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to focus on the implementation of the three aggregation steps. So here are some key considerations in the implementation. The data reduction rate of those partial aggregation stages, and also the ability to pipelining with upstream and downstream computation, and also the memory consumptions of the stages, and also and finally the multi-threading to take advantage of the multi-core machines we have in the cluster. So we experimented with six aggregation strategies, and four of them are iterator-based, and two of them are accumulator-based. So I'll briefly describe two of them. So first, the partial sort strategy. So for the first two aggregation steps, so we read the input into memory as a number of fixed-sized chunks. And we only keep a bounded number of chunks in memory. And the chunks are processed independently in parallel. And so for the last step, so we actually read the entire input into memory and perform a parallel sort and apply the aggregation to each group. So here are a few things about this strategy. First, because of the first stage uses only bounded amount of memory, so it can be always pipelined with the upstream computation. And because the partial aggregation substantially reduced the size of the data, so the last stage can often be pipelined with downstream computation. And also, because we are doing partial aggregation in the first stage, so the first stage can have very poor data reduction. So this partial sort strategy is the code among all the strategies we studied. So partial sort is the closest to MapReduce. Think about the chunk as a matter. So in the second strategy is we call it accumulator full hash. So in this strategy, all the stages perform exactly the same aggregation. So we build an in-memory parallel hash table and one accumulator object per key, per group. And each input record is accumulated into the accumulator object and then discarded immediately. So we output the hash table when all the records are processed. So this strategy achieves optimal data reduction in the first stage. And also, the memory consumption is proportional to the number of keys in other records. So because of this, we actually, by default, we enable upstream and downstream pipelining. And this is the strategy used by the database and also, you know, DB2 and Oracle. So let's now look at the performance of the six aggregation strategies. We evaluated them using three example applications. So the evaluation was performed on a 240 machine cluster, and the cluster has a two-level tree topology, and there are eight racks connected by a gigabit switch, and also each rack has about 30 machines also connected by a gigabit switch. So here I'm only going to describe the performance, the evaluation for the first benchmark. The other ones gave us similar findings. So This is actually the program for the benchmark, and written in Java. As you can see, it contains a group by aggregate operation, and the reduce function is decomposable according to our definition. So the execution plan with partial aggregation is enabled, is used. So here is a performance result of this for this benchmark. So for each strategy, we measure it with and without rack-level aggregation. So here is just a couple of interesting observations. So as you can see, the aggregator-based implementation outperformed substantially the iterator-based implementations. And also, it's quite surprisingly, a little bit surprising to us, is we don't see much benefit of the aggregation trait here. So, but we believe, generally speaking, the aggregation trait is actually useful when there are multiple jobs, concurrent jobs, containing the global switch. So we also compare the performance against the baseline, the execution plan with no partial aggregation. So the baseline is significantly worse. So the increase in running time, we believe the increase in running time is mainly due to the additional disk and network IOs. Another experiment we did is to compare with MapReduce. We simulated MapReduce in DryLink using 16,000 mappers and 236 reducers and with machine level aggregation. So the simulated MapReduce is about 3 times slower than our best strategy. So we believe the performance difference is mainly due to the choice of the interface and also the overhead of running a lot of very short-lived processes in our implementation. So this table shows you the effectiveness of data reduction in the of this partial aggregations. So for our example, the total data reduction is about a factor of 50. As you can see, the partial strategies are less effective in the first stage. So therefore, we always use aggregation trees, and when we are using the partial strategy. So now, let's try to summarize what we have learned. So for the programming interface. So it looks like the programming interface have a big impact on actual performance. So the accumulator interface was a winner. The DryLink offers a better interface than Hadoop and databases. So we have better integration with existing programming languages and their type systems. And also, our formulation enables the composition of decomposable functions. And the iterator interface is somewhat easier to program with based on our experience. It is adopted by .NET and Link, and also is adopted by MapReduce and Hadoop. On the implementation, so the accumulator full hash was the winner. And in this case, it looks like the database people got it right here. And the partial sort, which is we believe is closest to the MapReduce, was the second worst strategy in the 6 strategies we studied. And also, we need to choose among various optimizations, whether we do rack-level aggregation or whether we do full hash or partial hash, what strategy we use, and also the strategy for the pipelining. So all those things in our current system is all statically determined. So it would be really nice. It could be adjusted at the runtime. So to conclude, the group by aggregate is an extremely important primitive for data parallel computing. And we really need to get it right, get this programming model right, and also what we are doing is probably just the first step of doing this. That's it.
Oh, you're not getting away yet. I actually did have one question, which I apologize. It's a little self-serving, which is, I'm curious if you have intuition in how you would adapt your model if you were using, say, nodes with drastically different capabilities than those today. But actually, I would generalize that a little bit more, because we also see things like proposals for full bisection network bandwidth mechanisms. So how can I take your model, what your results, and say, and project forward to 50 nodes or full bisection bandwidth or nodes with 150 gigabytes of DRAM?
So that's So frankly, I really don't know.
Okay.
Yeah,
sorry. We should talk about it.
Yeah.
All right. Let's thank our speaker one more time.